I would like the topic is Zachariah ben Avkilos revisited. The famous story of Zachariah ben Avkilos with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So I want to review the story with you and then offer what I think are a couple of interesting approaches to this somewhat enigmatic story. The story goes as follows. What you have on the page actually picks up in the middle of the story, but the story begins with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, in that there was a fellow that wanted to invite a certain individual to his feast, and the attendant who sent the invitation invited the wrong person. So he met him by Kamsa instead. He invited Bar Kamsa, and Bar Kamsa shows up to the meal. Right, so that's where the Gemara that you have in front of you picks up, and it's the first source on the page. So Amar Le, the Bala Suda wanted to throw him out. Right, I think we're all somewhat familiar with the story. Wanted to throw him out, so he said, "You know what? I'll pay 50% of the cost of the affair." Amar Le, he refused. Amar Le, Yahiv Nalach Demekul, I'll pay for the entire affair. Just don't throw me out. Says, no, I refuse to do that either. Nakte biyadevo, made the afke, so he got up and left. Amar ho v'havu yasvi rabbanu v'lo machu bei, since there were rabbis here in the room that were here at the time of this public shaming, and none of the rabbis got up to do anything, shma mina kamichulu, it seems to me that the rabbis were in agreement with what the Baal HaSu'udah did. So so Bar Kamsa decided to take revenge, and the story proceeds. He goes to the Roman authorities. Says the Jews are trying to rebel against you. How do you know that the Jews are trying to rebel against us? Says, well, send them a karban, and they won't put your karban on the mizbeach. And so they did. They sent a karban to check it out. And of course, as the story famously is told, Bar Kamsa caused a minor blemish in the animal that was almost undetectable. But the rabbis, certainly the Kohanim, were well aware, and they did not put the animal on the mizbeach. The Gemara says that after several attempts over here, it became clear that they weren't going to put the karban on the mizbeach. They were not going to accept the karban as offered, and that was thus interpreted as an act of rebellion against the authorities, an act of brazen independence. Now, the thought process here went as follows, and this is the key line. It is the fourth line here in the text. Again, we're just reviewing, I think, a story that we might all know from one perspective or another. So when they were debating the issue, they had a choice to make. The rabbis had a choice to make. On the one hand, this animal is blemished and cannot be accepted for the mizbeach. On the other hand, they also don't want to antagonize the Roman authorities. So they decided... So Amar Lo Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulis. Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulis said, when they suggested, let's do it for shalom, for peace with the authorities, and we shouldn't have any trouble with them, let's accept the karban. Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulis said, Yomru, people will say, Bale Mumin Kraven Gabi Mizbeach, that animals with blemishes can be accepted on the Mizbeach. Savar Lamiktale. So then they thought, you know what, maybe we'll just kill Bar Kamsa, because this is a very, very, treacherous situation that we're in. Delolays of Leibus, so he shouldn't go back to the authorities and say anything. So I'm a little Rabbi Zachariah. Rabbi Zachariah then said, Yomru, we can't kill the guy. Matil mumbekad shemihareg. People will then say that if you cause an animal to become blemished, that is liable for the death penalty. So Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulis tied the hands of the rabbis. On the one hand, he did not allow them to accept the karban on the mizbeach, out of fear that people would misinterpret the permission given, and on the other hand, he did not allow them to take significant action to stop Bar Kamsa, namely killing him, because people would say that what he did was liable for the death penalty, and in fact, it's not liable for the death penalty. And as a consequence, Bar Kamsa went off. He colluded, in our day and age, collusion. He colluded with the authorities and brought about significant oppression and ultimately the events that led to the exile and the Churban HaBayis. So Rabbi Yochanan comments on Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas, and he says, "An v'sunoso shel Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas hechriva es beitenu." The modesty, the humility of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas is what caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Our house was destroyed, the Heichal was burned down, and we were sent off into exile. So all the commentators wonder, how do you explain this exactly? What is the humility of Zecharia ben Avkulas that caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash? So and the exile. So does anybody know any of the famous explanations on this? One of the famous explanations? So the famous explanation is that Zecharia ben Avkulas was humility gone awry. In other words, he wasn't willing to do X and he wasn't willing to do Y. He didn't want to, he wanted to preserve the halacha in face of people's misinterpreting it. And he wasn't willing to stand up and take a stand and do what is right and just say, okay, we're going to do X, we're going to do Y. Instead, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. He was indecisive in both directions. And that passivity, which Rabbi Yochanan attributes to anivus, a humility, but a humility gone awry. That's not, humility doesn't mean to be indecisive. Humility doesn't mean to be passive. Humility means to be humble. But when called upon to act, you have to act. And so the common way of understanding this is that Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas is being criticized here for misplaced anivus, for misplaced humility. Okay, that is that's the famous story in the Gemara. The Chassam Sofer cites another Gemara, another story regarding Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, and this gets into somewhat of a halachic discussion regarding the laws of Shabbos. That's in the second box on your page. Chassam Sofer cites the following: Tosefta Perek Yudzayin Maseches Shabbos. There's a Tosefta Maseches Shabbos which states the following: Beishamai Omer. Beishamai holds that when it comes to Shabbos, you have bones on the table, leftovers on the table that are going to go into the garbage. Magbiyah me'al ha'shulchan atzamos uklipos. You can take these peels and these bones and this stuff which is going into the garbage, throw it in the garbage, and there is no problem of mukta. Ordinarily, things which are not usable on Shabbos are considered mukta, and this garbage is not usable on Shabbos. It's done. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel argue, Magbi hatabla kula umenori. Take the whole tabletop and you shake it off into the garbage. Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas looked at both of these positions, said Beis Shammai thinks that when it comes to mukta on Shabbos, so you can take off the bones and throw it in the garbage. Beis Hillel says you have to shake off the whole tabletop. Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas lo haya osel lo kibei Shammai velo kibei Hillel. Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas held neither like Beis Shammai nor like Beis Hillel. Rather, what did he do? No telu mashlech es hamita. He would take the whole thing and throw it behind and throw it behind. So a little different than Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The point that the Gemara is making here, he didn't ask his wife apparently, the point that the Gemara is making here is that Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas did neither like the two existing shitos. And it was, and as a consequence, our good friend Rabbi Yossi comments on Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas's on his actions. And you know what he says about Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas? Amar Rav Yose, and the sunaso shor Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas sarfa ha'echal. Because of his humility here, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So what does this have to do with anything? Right? At least the first story, there's a connection. Bar Kamsa and Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, he wanted to get back at Klal Yisrael, the Karbanos. So, Zecharia ben Avkulos took an inactive stand on that issue, which directly impacted how the Roman authorities were going to relate to the Jewish body politic. And they decided to invade. Over here, what does this have to do with anything? And Rav Yossi says, because Rav Zecharia ben Avkulos did not paskin neither like Beis Shammai nor like Beis Hillel regarding this detail halacha of Hilcha Shabbos, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Chassam Sofer says, Nira la miyaz daiti, that's in the second paragraph, it seems to me, Hada amar Rav Zecharia yomru matil mum bekotshim chayav misa, o yomar bali mum karev legabi mizbeach. Let's go back to the story of Zecharia ben Avkulos with Bar Kamsa. In that story, where he did not want to allow the karban on the mizbeach, because people would think that you're allowed to send a mum onto the mizbeach, and he didn't want to allow them to dispose of bar kamtza, because people would say that it is that it is liable for the death penalty to put a mum in an animal. In that situation, ikar chashashaso hayom etnei chil Hashem. What was he really concerned of in that story, in that situation? He was concerned about Chilul Hashem. What's the Chilul Hashem? Halo yadu kol olam, everybody knows, she'en kraven balei mumim ben amatil mum chayav misa. What is Rav Zecharia ben Avkulos arguing here? People are going to think this, people are going to think that. Everybody knows the score. No, anybody who's been around Karbanos for any short period of time, if you had a father or a mother that had said Karbanos before you, then you know what the laws of Karbanos are. It's a mimetic tradition. People handed down from generation to generation. You didn't have to go to become a Talmud scholar to learn the basics 101 of Karbanos. So what was he really concerned about? He was concerned about Chilul Hashem. What was the Chilul Hashem that he was concerned about? El al yedeze yisu v'yitnu muzras bilavana. Not exactly sure how to read that word, but it basically means the following. That what Zecharia ben Avkulos was concerned about was the gossipers, people that were going to sit around the water cooler and start talking. And they're going to start talking about Shorish v'Yisod Aschalas HaMaisa. You say, did you hear? Bar Kamsa was killed. Why was he killed? What did they do? Why did they execute him? It turns out he was in that party. And he was shamed. They wanted to throw him out, and the Chachamim didn't say anything. And that would create a tremendous Chilul Hashem. That's what Zecharia ben Avkulos was concerned about. That people would start talking. I mean, it's not something that you can hide, really. And once people start talking, they'll start talking, and one thing will lead to the other, and they'll get back to the, they're going to conduct an investigation, and they'll find out there either was collusion or there wasn't. And at the end of the day, the only people that will look really badly, or the people that will look really badly, are the Chachamim. The Chachamim who were silent in the face of this public shaming. And Zecharia ben Avkulos wanted to prevent that Chilul Hashem. The Yisod HaMaisa Sha'ashmo Sha'rasha Zo Yimser L'Malchus, to say, why is this guy going to go and maser on the Jewish people to the Romans? Where did this all start from? It's going to come back to that point of departure that the Chachamim did not protest when this fellow was publicly shamed. And the common folk will look askance on Chachmei Yisrael. And for that, Rav Zecharia ben Avkulos could not abide by that. And so to prevent that Chilul Hashem, he took the position that he did. Okay? Amnam, however, says the Chassam Sofer, Mi sheyesh lo moach b'kad kado, if you have a brain in your skull, ki lo davar katan hu. Life is not that simple. Not that simple. Things are a little complicated here. Ki lo davar katan hu lizbol, it's not a small thing to accept. Ki mistama bar kamtza rasha. One can be fairly confident that Bar Kamtza was a bad guy. I mean, we know how the story ends up, so clearly he was a bad guy. Bar Kamtza Rasha, V'yikir Yerushalayim lo hayu yoshvim b'mesiba elaim ken yodim mimesav imahem. Chazal tell us that at the time, the scholars, the pious of Yerushalayim, they didn't, you know, they took their associations seriously. And they didn't hang out with mobsters. And if they were invited to a dinner party, if they were invited to an event, you know, if people that were of very low moral standing were going to be there, they weren't going to attend. They had reputations to uphold, and they wanted to conduct themselves in a way that would be beyond any reproach. I show up to an event, and here are people that are fraudsters and morally corrupt and boors, and you know, so Yekirei Yerushalayim, the pious class in Yerushalayim at the time, they knew who they were with, and they would not show up to such an event. Ela im ken yodim mimei savimam. They had to get a guest list first. The year is Bala Seuda, and the Bala Seuda saw this. Shehotziu. The year is Bala Seuda shehotziu nami mehay taima ki e efshar lisbol l'seuda b'seuda simcha. And the Bala Seuda also understood that he couldn't abide by this. He couldn't let Bar Kamtza sit here. In other words, the Chasam Sofer turns the story entirely on its head in defense of the Bala Seuda and in defense of the rabbis. What's the defense? Bar Kamtza shows up to the meal, shows up to this event. And he is a low, low guy. He's a Rasha. He's a Rasha. I don't know all the things on his list, but clearly he was a Rasha. And Bar Kamtza and the Bala Seuda says, I can't let the guy stay. And Bar Kamtza says, for money, anything works. Right? I think I've told the story before that there's an apocryphal story that founding of the State of Israel, Ben Gurion, was approached about, when Ben-Gurion thought it was a good idea, as influenced by the cultural Zionists, to reestablish a Sanhedrin. So he spoke with the chief rabbi and said, let's get a Sanhedrin together. And the rabbi said, listen, it's virtually impossible to get a Sanhedrin. You need people of such high standing, people who are morally unassailable. People that withstand any possibility of bribery and corruption. To which Ben Gurion responded, "No problem. For money, you can get anything." Okay. So, in other words, the guy Bar Kamtza shows up. This is clearly not his crowd. And the Bala Seuda had a choice to make: is he going to spend the evening with Bar Kamtza, or is he going to spend the evening with the Yekirei Yerushalayim? And it's not fair to them either. So maybe he should have done it quietly. Maybe he shouldn't have done it publicly. But maybe it was right for him to ask Bar Kamtza to leave. And Bar Kamtza says, no, I'll pay you off. And the Bala Seuda says, I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. The Chachamim are not for sale. There's integrity to have here. So the Chasam Sofer takes the story and flips it on his head. The Bala Seuda, in fact, acted honorably. Defensively, maybe he shouldn't have done it publicly, but really he was a man who was a man of principle. Ki efshar lisbol lisod besudas simcha. Rasha ze yoshev kenegdo. Ulai ilu lahotziu hayu chachmei Yisrael omdim me'asuda. If he had not asked the fellow to leave, Bar Kamtza to leave, maybe the chachamim would have gotten up to leave also. Ki mi yachal lisbol ze? Who can tolerate this? Who can tolerate having such a bore at a Russia, a morally corrupt banquet vapid person at the Suda? The Im came, and if that is in fact the case, Ein kan chil Hashem. There's no chil Hashem. What's the chil Hashem that the Bala Seuda wanted to protect to protect the integrity of the people who are there? They didn't allow a morally corrupt, bankrupt person, Russia Marusha, to engage here. Maybe he could have done it nicer. But he was a man of principle. And there was no Chil Hashem here. So says the Chasam Sofer, Amnam, So Achar b'Zecharia ben Avkulas, but there was one person who had a very tolerant personality. One person. Most people would not abide by this. Most Yikirei Yerushalayim, most people of piety, when somebody like this, who is so morally bankrupt, shows up, Kai comes in, he defrauded the entire community of millions of dollars, and he shows up to shul, Shiso shows up to shul, and wants to sit in shul like nothing happened. Is that fair? Is that right? You have a person who refuses to give his wife a get for 6 years, shows up to shul, everybody's just, okay, you know, don't embarrass the guy. What do you mean don't embarrass the guy? He's a magen. Chassam Sofer is arguing that Bar Kapsa was a Rasha, and a well-known Rasha. Look how he conducted himself afterwards. But there was one person, so there wasn't a Chil Hashem to ask him to leave. But there was one person who had such an open heart, who was so magnanimous, who was an anav to the nth degree. And Rashi says, I didn't read that for us, it's the first line over here in this Chassam Sofer, Rashi says, defines, what is the word anvesunaso? What it doesn't mean humble. Savlanot, savlanos, which means patience. He was an inordinately tolerant and patient person. And because he was so tolerant, and he was so patient, he could not abide by the fact that the Chachamim that Bar Kamsa was thrown out of the Seuda. What?
What was his master plan?
I don't know. Bar Kamsa?
No,
I thought
he was so tired.
No, Zecharia ben Avkulas. Zecharia ben Avkulas was extraordinary tolerant. He was so tolerant. So now Bar Kamsa shows up and he wants to, you know, with the Roman carbon. And so now they're stuck. Do they, do they send them off or not? So everybody else said, "What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Nobody's going to say boo." And Zecharia ben Avkulas said, "What do you mean nobody's going to say boo? They threw the guy out." And because Zecharia ben Avkulas was such a tolerant, such a magnanimous person, such a patient person, that he could abide by having a Bar Kamsa at his table, for him that was a Chilul Hashem. And so this is a critique of being overly tolerant. It's a critique of being over. There are some times that you have to have standards. A person comes to shul, didn't give his wife a get for 6 years, you throw the guy out of shul. You do it. It's Chil Hashem, you're going to embarrass him? He embarrassed himself. Right? So there are times when a principled stand has to be taken. And that's what the Chachamim said. There's no problem here. Just accept the karban. But Zecharia ben Avkulas was so overly tolerant, was so overly magnanimous, was so overly patient, was such a savlan, that he considered this to be a Chil Hashem. And that, says Chassam Sofer, is the critique of Zecharia ben Avkulas. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and the sunaso shel Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas echriva es beisein, that the patience, the tolerance of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas, that is what brought about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, because there really was no Chil Hashem. And who was Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas? Apparently, he was the chief of the Sanhedrin, or a very, very powerful force, because they listened to him. He wasn't just one member of 70. You know, there was a pecking order. You know, the youngest, the least of the Sanhedrin versus the highest of the Sanhedrin. But when he spoke, his word was accepted. Had he uttered a different word, things would have been entirely different. So who's right here in the story? I mean, Rav Yochanan is critical of him. And says, and Rav Yossi is critical. So what does this have to do with the bones on Shabbos? So think about it. There's machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Right? How do you get rid of the garbage on the table? Okay, on Shabbos, Beis Hillel says, you shake it out. Beis Shammai says, you take it out. And Zechariah ben Avkulas, for him, there's no problem at all here. Because there's a halacha, the Chasam Sofer concludes, there's a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos. You have a graf shel ri'i, if you have something which is disgusting, you don't have to abide by something which is disgusting. Take it out. But Zechariah, and so therefore he had no problem. He took it and threw it out. But Zechariah ben Avkulas, that's for him. He could abide having garbage at the table. For him, it was no problem. I mean, for him, it was a problem. So this is Zechariah ben Avkulas. And this is the critique of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi, of Zechariah ben Avkulas. So I go back, who was right here? I mean, let's take a step back. Was Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas wrong in his magnanimous approach to this Rasha Marusha? Were the Chachamim right in saying that this guy should leave and not protesting? So I think that there's clearly the Chasam Sofer is coming down on one side of this equation, and he's saying sometimes you have to kick people out, as untoward as that feels, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But I would argue the following. I think that there is a bigger message here, which Chasam Sofer is not saying. And that is, on the Sunaso Shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas, his humility is what brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine that. He was a pious, well-meaning, good-hearted human being. And the decision that he made, out of all the goodness of his heart and his magnanimous soul, brought about destruction. So what does that mean for every one of us who may not be like a Zechariah ben Avkulas? What does that mean for us in terms of the decisions that we make and how we relate to other people who have different opinions than us? Well, I think it should be this way. And I think that it should be this way. How sure am I of that? I bet you Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas was pretty sure of himself. And he was a tzaddik. If Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas, with all of his tzidkus, could make a decision which was so, had such tragic consequences to it, maybe we have to be a little bit more humble in the way we conduct ourselves. And when we come into conflict with others, okay, maybe I think I'm right. Maybe you have a point. Maybe you have a point. I still think I'm right. But there's a way to conduct oneself and to be a little bit more humble. It's when we come to these firm positions and we're absolutely sure. Imagine if we're Zechariah ben Avkulas and that can lead to such consequences, maybe we have to be a little bit more humble ourselves. And in fact, the context of this Gemara is Ashrei Adam Efached Tamid. The Gemara begins, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what is an illustration of the Pasuk of fortunate of the man who always fears the consequences of his actions? And it goes on to the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. So who is, when the Gemara tells us this whole story about being concerned about the consequences of your actions, who is the person who should be fearful of consequences of their actions? Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, the Bala Suuta, the Chachamim, maybe Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas, who Rabbi Yochanan says destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with his anivus, with his piety. So the big picture here is, maybe he was right, maybe he was wrong. Maybe the Chachamim were right, maybe the Chachamim were wrong. Clearly the Chasam Sofer comes down on one side of that equation. But we, on a day of Tisha B'Av, thinking about Sinas Chinam, most machlokas, in my humble experience, most machlokas that I've witnessed in my life is machlokas which is l'shem shamayim on one level, that everybody believes that they're truly right, and they're fighting for what they believe to be so. But it's shelo l'shem shamayim in the sense that there is absolute certitude without any understanding or validity to the other side of the equation. And this takes us to a fascinating, another approach in the story of Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas. If you take a look at the third box over here, in Eicha Rabba, the Medrash Rabba says, and I underlined it, something which is not included in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rav Zecharia ben Avkula has heard about this whole thing, and he commented, and he was concerned, and as we all explain. But the Medrash Rabba says, Hayasham Rav Zecharia ben Avkula. Rav Zecharia ben Avkula was actually present. He was actually present at that meal. He was present at that party. And he wasn't sure which way to go, and he didn't protest. So if you assume that Rav Zecharia ben Avkula was actually there, well, then he was part of the problem. You know, he was part of the problem. You know, himself. So that sort of throws a monkey wrench into the Chassam Sofer's view. If you look on the bottom here, and I heard this I did not see this. Apparently, there is an academic study on what I'm about to say, but I didn't see any of the research either first or second hand. Josephus, and this is cited right here, Josephus writes in the War Against the Jews, the War of the Jews, that during the period of the Second Temple, of the conclusion of the leading up to the Churban, there were two groups. There were those who wanted to make peace with Rome, and there were those who wanted to fight to the very last drop. Fight till the very last person dies. These were the Kanaim, the Zealots, right, and the whoever the other group were called. So who are some of the leaders of the Zealots, of the Kanaim? So Josephus writes the following: Rashi HaKanai, the head of the Zealots, Hayu HaEchad Elazar ben Shimon. One was Elazar ben Shimon, Asher Neman al HaKanai, who was very trustworthy and a very trustworthy Zealot. Kihaya maski limtso eitz of tachbula behaven lamale achar atzaso. He was a very smart guy, a good strategist, figured out how to get things done. Vasheni, and who was the second of the great leaders of the Zealots? Zecharia ben Amkulas, which could very well be Avkulas, mimishpachas kohanim, mimishpachos kohanim, who were from priestly families. So here you have Josephus, and if we assume this to be so, that Rav Zecharia ben Avkula was a zealot. He was a zealot. He was a kanai. But the Gemara says on the Sunasa, he was his humility is what brought down the Beis Hamikdash. So some suggest that Rav Zecharia ben Avkula, the Gemara sort of speaking the lashon saginar. Is speaking in a euphemism here. It doesn't mean that he was humble at all. It means that he was very strict. He was strict. He was strict about the laws of Karbanos. He was strict about the law, of Balmum. He was strict. Doesn't make a difference what's going to happen. He wanted to bring the people to war, and he did. If this approach is actually correct, Zecharia ben Avkula, mishum amdesanaso, doesn't mean that he was truly a pious person. It means that he was really a zealot. He was really a kanai, and this was all part of the plan. It means that this was all part of a procedure in order to launch the war with the Jews and Rome. Leave you with one last point. You can read it inside later if you'd like. And this is the I saw it inside, but I would like to credit by Jacobson, whom I heard it first. And this is from the Yisbach Lev, the Chernobyl Rebbe. So it's on the bottom of. On the bottom of the last page here, the last page, he says the following, and I've underlined some of it for you here on the bottom of the page here. Zecharia ben Avkula was a great tzaddik. Zecharia ben Avkula was a man who had Ruach HaKodesh. Zecharia ben Avkula was somebody who understood where the Jews were at this point in history. And he saw that they were on the deck of the Titanic and nothing was going to save them. And therefore, he said, you know what? The Titanic is sinking. The Jewish people are going into galus. At least let's preserve the mitzvahs. At least give the carbon right. Don't, you know, it's one thing if it's going to save the Jewish people, but it's not going to save the Jewish people. The Jewish people are going into galus, whether this carbon is brought or this carbon is not brought. So at least if we don't bring the carbon, at least we're following the mitzvahs. At least we're following Allah. And he writes the following. He understood that this was going to change nothing. Because if he did see that there was a possibility of things being different, why didn't Rav Zecharia ben Avkilos also knew that for to save the Jewish people, you bring a carbon with a mum? Says the Chernobyl Rebbe, Shehu ra shekfar nigzera gzera shebevadei yacharei. He saw that this was a done deal. And it was a done deal, at least do the right thing. Nothing's going to change it. Skip to the last page, last paragraph. So why didn't he tell them? Why didn't he just say, listen, guys, I had a Ruach HaKodesh. I know what's going on. It's over. It's all over. Why didn't you just tell them? Just tell them. Says the Chernobyl Rebbe, Zehu an sunaso shor Zecharia ben Avkulos. This was his modesty, his humility. He didn't want to tell them what he knew. He's being humble. He's Ruach HaKodesh. Yeah. He doesn't want to tell them what he knew. And because of his humility, Charva Beis HaMikdash, because says the Chernobyl Rebbe, you can't give up on another Jew. Because were it not for this humility, and he would have told the people what he knew, maybe the Jewish people would have done tshuva in the last moment. You could do tshuva to the last second. But because of his humility, he was silent. And he robbed the people of their ability to potentially do tshuva. Because he didn't have confidence in them. Maybe he didn't have confidence in himself. I don't know. That's the anivus. So today is a day, Tisha B'Av, which demands humility. All are agreed. Demands humility when we conduct ourselves with our neighbors. Demands humility when we are in an argument, we're in a dispute, to be a little bit humble about the opinions that we have. Certainly demands humility. But in this case, humility went awry. In this case, humility went awry. And the Gemara says in these two cases, Mishum an visunaso shor Zecharia ben Avkulos, because of his humility, one way or the other, as a consequence, Charva Beis HaMikdash. So my bracha to you and me and all of us together is on this last note, let's not give up on any Jew, let's not give up on any person, let's try to see the best and try to do what we can to help each other, to help ourselves to a place of tshuva, to a place of closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam, and consequently to a place of closeness ben adam lechaver. Thank you.